Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest two hours in talk radio. Oh, we've got some really bad feedback coming across from our guest. Nicole, would you be able to turn down your speakers just a tad? Oh, wait. It doesn't seem to be making any difference now. That's weird. Anyway, a very special guest is Nicole, and she's going to be talking about decolonizing North America. Are you proposing an American exodus by chance?
Hang on just one sec. I'm trying to see how come I'm not hearing you.
You can't hear me?
Yeah. Well, no, I can hear you from the laptop, but not from my headset.
Okay. It doesn't seem like it's working at all. So just pretend that the laptop is your headset at the moment.
Okay. One sec here.
In fact, better yet, don't pretend. It should be working. Okay. Technical issues, folks. Sorry about that. It was working fine before while we were over the break. I wonder what happened. Okay. Well, also, I wanted to take this opportunity to say PayPal's been messing me around, folks. You know, they said that I had to register as some form of a charity or whatever in order to take donations and stuff, but I'm not a registered charity, so I can't send them the documents that they're telling me that I have to, that claim that I am a charity. So that means that they have restricted my account, which means that all of your donations, all of your subscription fees are inaccessible until such time as I get it resolved, which I can't because I don't have the documents. Oh, no. It's not good. Don't know how I'm going to pay the rent or anything next week. So, yeah, if you are planning on donating to the show, don't do it through PayPal right at the moment. There's a bank account there for Kiwi Bank here in New Zealand, or you can email me and I'll send you my address, you know, and you can send a cashier's check or something of that nature. Just don't use the PayPal at the moment until I get that stuff resolved. Otherwise, I won't be able to touch anything that's in there. Okay, Nicole, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah.
Good. Any feedback?
I don't know. We'll ask the listeners. Would you like to give us some feedback, listeners? Let's see. No, doesn't seem to be. Okay, good. All right.
Okay.
Well, why don't you just explain just a little bit about who you are, Nicole?
Okay. I'm originally from Montreal, here in Canada, and I started finding out about what was happening with the One World Government imposing itself. And I was working on a hospital project, and I had the UN correspondence with them. And when I started looking at how this hospital project would come about and what was entailed, then I saw, you know, some of the things that the Canadian government was doing with the United States and Mexico, and called the Security Prosperity Partnership Agreement. And then, wow, you know, like my eyes were really opened up to the illusion of that we're living today. I mean, not just here, but worldwide. And now they're really imposing their one world government because they're actually ignoring all of the treaties of the indigenous peoples here. So they're taking away everybody's sovereignty in order to fulfill their corporate illusion of a one world government. So I started looking at solutions, and I was able to meet a woman that we went to a seminar, and this woman was there, and she was talking about decolonization. And she actually works on the Western Sahara decolonization. And she was saying, well, you know, in Canada, they say we're decolonized, but we're not really decolonized. And so we started researching into this, and we went like, holy, how come all of a sudden they're saying, okay, Canada and the United States were decolonized, but we really weren't, because we're still under the British rule. Basically,
what does decolonize mean? Does it mean getting rid of all the men with the name Colin?
No, 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 no. All it means is that we get to choose our self determination, and we can do our self governance. And right. This can be adapted to everybody worldwide if they wanted to. All we have to do is stand up and say, hey, like in Canada, you take 32 million people, and then that, you know, could stand up and decide for themselves what they want. And with us, what they said, that we've been decolonized apparently since 1931. But in actuality, we've never had, from 1931 to 1982, we had no constitution. Because what happened is Britain walked away and told the government that they had to, you know, let the people know and come up with their own constitution, and that, but that Britain was going to oversee the Canadian foreign relations and do all of the foreign trade until Canada was established as its own country without Britain's involvement. So anyways, nothing ever got signed. Nobody ever knew. We were never told. And the people that were in power back then decided to just take it over. And then in 1982, boom, you know, all of a sudden we have this constitution, you know, that Pierre-Elliott Trudeau came up with. And we never had the right to determine how we want our laws to be, what we want to do. Like, the Indigenous people should have been warned, you know, because of their treaty rights. And they were never even given the option to decolonize. What they did is they said to them that they could decolonize. And instead of decolonizing, what they did is they offered them self-governance and self-determination, but to their reserves and territories. But they also, but they cannot instill laws that would overrule the provinces or the federal government. So basically, it's just a municipality.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of like, I don't know, you're like a child in your parents' house. No locked doors in my house, you know? It might be your room, but it's my house.
Exactly. Exactly. But you got to clean your room. So you take care of your room. You know, the same thing.
Yeah.
So to stop this one world government from happening and this globalization, and to be able to maintain what we have here in Canada, which is our natural resources and everything else, instead of giving it to, like right now, they've finalized a deal with China. And China has complete immunity from doing any damages on our territories, and there's nothing we can do about it. So a whole bunch of things like this are starting to develop. So when you're looking at a company, the companies, Samsung, all of those, the pipelines, all of this together makes no sense that these companies would be able to come into Canada, terrorize the land, and then leave us with the mess to clean it up. And that's basically what Harper is doing. So the one solution that we found was, if we all rose with the Indigenous nations and claimed decolonization, we'd be able to actually set ourselves free from this government, establish our own laws, and we can do this with referendums, you know, on a yearly basis through our communities. So this way we'd all have direct democracy. We never have to elect any politicians again.
That's acting under the assumption that the referendums are binding, because I've seen so many referenda being instituted in a number of countries, and the personal experience of New Zealand, couple of referendums that we've had, government says, I want to do this, and then a whole bunch of people, hundreds of thousands of people, get their signatures on there, we want a referendum on this issue because we don't want it. Then 87% of people respond, we don't want it. And the government says, okay, thank you very much, we're going to do it anyway, because the referendum's non-binding.
Yes, but see, this is where we can differ from that. We don't need to accept what the government decides. You know, and if we started there, that this is where we have a right in Canada. We were allowed to be sovereign. Not allowed, I shouldn't say allowed. It was determined that we were too big and that we can be sovereign. So when you're looking at 32 million people, and then in the United States, they've got 300 million people plus. So if you look at the Indigenous nations in North America, they are neither Canadian citizens or U.S. citizens. They are North American Indigenous peoples, Amerindians. So their rights cover North America. So if they chose to decolonize and they made that statement, they would finally get their recognition on the international level, and then they would have the right to their decolonization. And then with us as Canadian citizens, then we work with them in conjunction and make new laws and new strategies where everybody benefits and not just the corporations.
Mm-hmm. And you said you never have to vote for another representative in Parliament again. You know, that would take a great weight off my mind if I didn't have that responsibility to perpetuate a BS system that doesn't actually make any positive difference. It makes a difference, sure, but it's all negative.
Exactly. And the thing is a lot of people, what we find that the hardest to do is to awaken the people to this. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid of responsibility. You know, I mean, I've spoken to some of the young people and even my own son, you know, he says, Mom, he says, why are you bothering with all this? And I said, well, I'm looking out for your future and our future and the other, you know, generations to come. If we don't take care of our politicians and look at what's going on in our country and try to see where our money is going, you know, how are we going to be able to continue? He says, yeah, but that's why we pay them for to do. I said, yes, but, you know, if everybody had their own voice and everybody decided on issues, then there'd be no room for corruption. Because when it's the people's voice that speak, there is no room for corruption. It's the people's voice. This is what they want. And one of the reasons, when I started this, I was on the Six Nations territory, the Haudenosaunee peoples, and they have what they call the Great Law, the White Roots of Peace Constitution. And their constitution is the oldest living constitution on earth. And this was determined by over 200 scholars that went to Cornell University in the United States. And they were able to, you know, see exactly what the documents were. And the constitution actually has the power to create world peace, because what it is the people's voice above governance. And the way that they do things, it's very calm. There's no arguing. I mean, if you look at our parliament, it's a sideshow. You know, I mean, I don't like listening to parliamentarians, you know, calling each other names and doing all kinds of stupid things. And yet, I mean, there's no class.
Speaking of that, I was once talking to I think it was a parent, and he said that his 12-year-old son watched Parliament TV with him once and saw these politicians debating and stuff like that. And the 12-year-old goes, oh, my God, these people are like kids.
I totally agree. It's a farce, you know? I mean, holy. Have you ever seen the show Canada Has 22 Minutes?
No.
It's a comedy show here in Canada. They laugh at our politicians, and I'll tell you. It's really good and funny. But you know, when you look at the reality of things, if the people stand up and they so choose, we can make this work. And, you know, I mean, I'm all for, you know, being, you know, globalization for humanity, but not for the corporations. And when you're looking at our import and exports, it's ridiculous. Just to give you an idea, here in Canada, okay, the Vatican, okay, I hate to bring them up, but I mean, they're all roads lead to Rome, right? Okay, so if you look, our hospitals, the Vatican owns 1,600 hospitals in Canada alone, okay? So we have what we call universal health care to a point now, because there's some services that have been cut off. But that has worked very well for us, and that's included in our taxation. But what you're looking at is, when you're looking at the Vatican hospitals actually having a budget of $7 billion, how many hospitals do they own in Canada alone? So when you're looking at that, people don't realize, oh, we have universal health care. No, we have a bill that is split amongst all of us tax-wise that we have to pay. And where does it go? It doesn't stay in Canada. They only leave enough of the budgets. So then you look at Ontario, we've got the Catholic and the public school boards. All the money for our house taxes and apartments and, you know, some of the portions from the rents for people who rent go to either one or the other, whether you have kids or not. So, you know, they're saying that with the Catholic schools, oh, our money stays here. Well, I'd like for them to prove that to me. You know, because they also own most of the schools and the universities and colleges. So we would just have to look at common sense here. But people think, oh, no, you know, that's ours. But they just don't realize that, you know, let's take a step back here. 1,600 hospitals that the Vatican owned, how much money are they making? Like, I mean, I went in the hospital 4 years ago, and my bill alone was $16,000 for a week. And that was from the private insurance, not counting the, you know, what they get from the government. So they get all the money from our private insurance as well. So where does it go? Does it come back to be put in the hospitals? No way. Not at the rate they're making cuts left and right. Same with the universities. The kids in Montreal are protesting the cuts there. It's getting ridiculous.
Give the Vatican a break, all right? They need extra money for child trafficking programs and payoffs for priests that get into trouble, all right? You know, they're good
guys.
I know,
isn't that so awful?
They're not doing anything sinister. It's just a global pedophile ring.
I know. Like, what would they do, right, if people found out that they're pocketing billions of dollars in healthcare and education in every country? I mean, if you look at Germany, they gave them $6 billion alone 2 years ago. I mean, that is insane. It's insane. Where are they getting their money? Not from donations.
I reckon they probably just make it up.
Could be. Yeah, very well. I mean, even with this new pope, I mean, that's a crock, right? I mean, it saddens me to see that people are not, you know, thinking clearly. They're not looking at common sense and seeing what is going on in this world. And when you've got...
This is why I've said that common sense now needs to be revised and called platinum sense, because it's the rarest element on earth.
Absolutely. It's like everybody's walking around without it, right? To me, that's gold. You know, they're saying water is going to be gold. Well, where's common sense? You know, anybody who has that or who shows that ability, to me, writes right up there with the geniuses, because somewhere it left and walked right out of this earth.
Yeah, it just left the station with bugger all people on board.
Exactly. It left with Elvis, you know, like, I mean, it's no longer in the building. But,
it just reminds me of that Rapture movie, Left Behind, where all of a sudden a whole bunch of people just disappear, you know, planes crash because the pilots got ascended and all of this other kind of stuff. That's basically what happened, you know. All the people with common sense got the frack out of there, and everybody else is just left to suffer. It's really interesting. Okay, Nicole from Decolonize America, North America is my guest, and we'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
I hope you like a diamond tree. I want a diamond. Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm no Superman, but laser beams do shoot out of my eyes if I see David Rockefeller. My very special guest is Nicole from Decolonize North America. Welcome back.
Thank you.
What were you about to start talking about before the break? I forget.
The Vatican.
The Vatican.
The Vatican. Yes. All roads lead to Rome, right? Follow the money. But in regards to decolonization, it's a very interesting concept because, you know, 80 countries decolonized, 16 are decolonizing right now, and 5 are decolonizing from the United States. Mind you, the Falkland Islands had their chance to become free, and they chose to remain British. And that just about floored me. I mean, it's like, shoot, these people, you know, like, with intelligence, please. So we need intelligence bullets, you know?
Well, I think rather responsibility bullets, because I don't know about you, but I know a number of people who still live with mummy and daddy. you know, because yeah. they haven't decided to take personal responsibility for feeding themselves, clothing themselves, cleaning up their own room, and supporting themselves, okay? That is the exact same mentality that we talk about when we talk about how the Falkland Islands want to remain British. They don't want to take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And that seems to be a disease nowadays. You know, I don't know if I have myself to blame for my son's apathy in regards to politics, but hopefully by the time I either get shot or leave this world willingly, that he'll have learned a few things, you know, because it's really sad to see the apathy that humanity is showing in regards to what is happening now. And, you know, they're not able to see the double speak on words. The, right now, if you showed me a government document, I'd be able to pinpoint exactly where they're going to be slithering through these play on words. Because, I mean, they've done it so for so long to the Indigenous peoples. And, you know, it's just ridiculous to see what, you know, they've done to them. And now they're doing it to us. So are the citizens finally going to understand how the Indigenous peoples feel? You know, here in Canada, I mean, our nations are living below poverty line. And in one account alone, they've got $2 trillion that we found out about through microfiche. And, you know, they're barely reaching a minimum to live on. And it's all according to what the government will allow them to do. So now we're trying to spread the word, you know, that yes, you know, declare your decolonization, make it formal. Do you know, we need a political decolonization. And what they've been taught is that decolonization means decolonize your mind, you know, stop having the white mentality. And you know, and so when we say decolonization, they go, oh, yeah, we've been through all this. And it's like, no, we haven't. We've been cheated out of our decolonization, Canadians alike, you know, like, let's do something here. You know, they have something, the Haudenosaunee Constitution, which is the oldest living one on Earth, proves that these people were not savages. So what we did is we tried to build a case to make sure that you know, we wouldn't be told, well, you know, they were savages. They didn't know how to be, and we had to civilize them. Well, you know what? From our research, cannibalism came from our ancestral society, not theirs. When you look at their organization, that constitution, no word of a lie can set everybody free on Earth. It could have the possibility to instill world peace amongst all nations and to show us how to, you know, have a council and have decent discussions. And it's so beautiful that it's sad to see that it had gotten buried. And even some of their own people, you know, some have it close to their heart, but others don't even know it. And what happened way back, if you're looking at the history, a lot of the nations came under that constitution. And it's called, you know, the right roots of peace for a reason, because the roots go all the way through the earth. And it's supposed to reach everybody. And, you know, the government's really, really made sure that that got buried and that people didn't find out about it. But they have what they call the Turo. And when the people came here, you know, sad to say, but what should have happened is when they had first contact, they should have sent them back on the boat or destroyed them. I'd hate to say for them to destroy another human being, but, you know, the fact remains is that you had almost 100 million Indigenous peoples here, and now they're down to 5 million across the United States and Canada. So what have we done here? It was mass genocide through all kinds of means. And then they were, you know, they had to choose regular names at gunpoint. Otherwise, you know, they'd be starved to death because of what the governments were doing to them and then putting them on reserves. So they forced, you know, them to become Catholics. They forced them to succumb to all of this, these things. And, you know, it saddens me when Canadians say, oh, well, you know, we brought our technology over, and if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have this. Well, excuse me, if we hadn't come over here and destroyed everything they had, I would be amazed to see what would have happened with that constitution alive and well and thriving in North America, because we wouldn't be in this mess, because they would have had, their purpose was to spread that throughout the world, like throughout the nations in North America, South America, and this is how they lived. And we were denied that, and all we're seeing is wars and jealousy and, you know, corporate greed and, do whatever you can to your neighbor as long as... Pardon?
Scumbaggery?
Scumbaggering? Yes, definitely. Yeah. So there's no more respect.
Yeah. Well, I think if you have a mentality of conquering and infinite expansion, respect for others goes right out the window. You know, it no longer matters. You'll tell them that you've got respect. You'll tell them that you're trying to help them, but really you're trying to do the direct opposite. You're trying to help yourself to what they got.
Yes, exactly.
Meaning land, resources, mm-hmm. things of that nature. Have you ever seen the Pearl Jam music video, Do the Evolution? And it's a very, very well done cartoon music video whereby it goes through the whole evolution of mankind and dinosaurs and everything all the way up to there's a massive metallic worms just shooting out of these massive corporations and just scooping up all the animals and all the water and all the land and just spitting it into this giant machine as it churns out all these weapons and machines of war. And it seems to be a great way of looking at things, and that's how it really is. It's simply grabbing without thought of what you're taking and then building machines of war without regard to the consequences.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, now we're in an age where drones are going to be sent to you and they don't even have to leave the building to have these wars. And, you know, what this Haudenosaunee Constitution or even the indigenous peoples worldwide, they've always had this connection to the earth and to respect and, you know, to respect all life. And we're at a point where we don't even respect our own neighbors. You look at the history, these people used to, you know, go on horseback or, you know, walk miles or by canoe or whatever the men would go hunting and then they catch, you know, food for the elders 200 miles away or even further. And I mean, right now we couldn't even, you know, the elders would be starving down our street and we don't even care. I mean, it's appalling, but I'm just wondering if we're not too late, but you know, got to keep the faith here, right? Somebody's got common sense somewhere and somebody's got a heart. And if we have a solution and we all, you know, you're in New Zealand, if Australia, everybody got together and did this decolonization at the same time, there's no way in hell, NATO would be able to come in, you know?
Well, what's interesting is that New Zealand's now a member of NATO. That's right. New Zealand, the South Pacific Island nation, is a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yeah, so are we.
You know, do the geography for me on that one.
I know. And it was the same thing with the United States, right? When Congress found out that their military could care less what they said, what the people said about them going to war wherever they want. It's not up to them to decide. It's NATO, the one world federal government.
That's the one world army. The one world government is the UN. The one world army is the NATO. The one world banking system is the City of London. The one world religion is from the Vatican, you know. And it's just basically they want these worldwide domineering sort of superstructures so that, well, basically, if you've ever tried to go to a local council meeting to even get so much as a water main busted, it's a real pain in the ass, even though that person's right there in front of you and you can hold them to account. How in the frack are you going to hold anybody to account when they are literally 3,000 miles away underneath a avalanche of red tape and bureaucracy? You won't be able to get nothing done.
No kidding. We can't get nothing done here, even within our cities. You know, it's pathetic. And it's time people woke up, you know, and it's only with, you know, people like you. And I mean, I woke up 5 years ago. I had a massive nervous breakdown for a year. And then I got good and mad. You know, I got pissed off. And here I am. And I'm still trying to hang in there. And as long as I take my last breath, you know, like, there is hope. And it's not that hard. It's actually very simple. We just need to stand up and make the demands. But in Canada, unfortunately, to change anything, we'll need at least 20 million out of those 32 million people to do anything about it. And the same goes for every other country.
Well, maybe even less. You know, it's just I've learned over the last couple of years since finding out about the New World Order and finding out how stupid people are and how stupid I was and how vacuous and pointless our lives really can be, that, in fact, most people just go along with anything, regardless of whether or not the shepherd is leading you to the slaughterhouse or greener pastures. They don't do anything, which means they no longer support the system per se, other than just during their general lifestyles, and they don't try to actively destroy people who are trying to change the system. They just do nothing. They follow whatever shepherd's put in front of them. Now, this isn't to say that people are stupid, sheepy, slave, scum, type of thing, although that's part of my belief structure. And it's more about the fact that very small amounts of people contribute disproportionately to the overall running of the planet. And it works both in the negative context and in the positive context. So if you have a look at the New World Order power structures and things like that, it's actually really only thousands of people. And that's about it, at the very tip-top, making all these decisions, sending all their decisions down and things like that. And they've got their various organizations where it all filters down, you know, kind of like somebody takes a leak on somebody who's on the top of a pyramid or something like that, you know, like a full of cheerleaders, and somebody's taking a leak on the top of the pyramid and it's suddenly trickling down and contaminating everybody in them with their nasty New World Order urinary tract infection yeastiness. And down the bottom of us, at the grassroots level, it can work the exact same way, but you've got to basically do the direct opposite. So if you're talking about one person does the spraying and everybody else just kind of gets wet as a result, you've got to think about the opposite way. A whole bunch of people got to do the spraying and have very few people actually feel that result up the top. So you've got to expose a small amount of people using a rather large amount of people that we've got at the grassroots here, I think. And that's a really interesting way of looking at it, is basically have a look at whatever the system's doing. Whatever the system's doing, whatever you're interested in, and just do the direct opposite. System wants you to do nothing, well, do something. The system wants you to shut up, then don't shut up. If the system wants you to watch TV, turn it off, you know, so on and so forth. These little simple things that you can do in your daily life make a huge, huge difference, like ripples in the water.
Right. Well, have you heard of Idle No More, which is what the Indigenous Peoples movement is happening here, because the government has actually assimilated them completely and removed all of their rights with new acts and bylaws and all kinds of things. So they really right now, I mean, right across Canada, they had huge demonstrations, considering that it's wintertime here. So I can just imagine what it's going to look like in the spring. So Canada will be very interesting to watch, especially with, you know, the Canadian allies standing with them, because, you know, as long as we don't fix the karma of what happened, you know, before, you know, since first contact, nobody will be able to move on. And to just tell them, oh, well, suck it up, you know, you're just like everybody else, it's not right.
Yeah, well, first contact, you get assimilated and resistance is futile. I think not. I think that's just a propaganda methodology to get you to stop fighting back. Because if you were fighting back, it'd be a hell of a lot harder to assimilate you and dominate you, wouldn't it? We'll be right
exactly.
Back after the break at thevinnieeastmanshow.com.
Black sunrise, black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's our final segment here with Nicole from decolonizenorthamerica.com or .org, if you happen to be of that persuasion. So welcome back from the break. And now, in this final segment here, we've only got about 10 minutes or so for you to rattle off anything you really all want to. In terms of implementation, how exactly do you propose to get decolonization going? I mean, is the parliament going to have anything to do with this? Do masses of people have to be involved in order for it to work? How?
Well, what we have here is we're still going to try and follow some of the guidelines that they're giving us, right, for referendums. So as long as you have a portion of the population that demands it, then they'll have no choice but to give it to us. And this is how we can start the ball rolling. But even with the Indigenous nations, as long as they made a statement on their proper, you know, political decolonization, walking away from the Crown, which is the Canadian government now, you know, and still some ties to Britain there, at least they'll be able to get their things going instead of always having to ask for handouts. So they will become more mature. And, you know, the government has done a good job in making sure that, you know, they had these band councils, these agents that they had kind of put in there at the beginning and structured things. So they can't say that these people don't know what they're doing. There's a lot of lawyers, doctors, all kinds. These people are extremely intelligent. So, you know, they'd be able to take care, manage their own things. Mind you, you're going to hear some stories about how the nations, you know, have basically some of the band counselors have and the chiefs have been ripping off their nations. But the thing is they were led down that road by the very office of the government that allowed them to do that. It was entrapment. And then we'd be able to prove that over and over again. So, you know, the government mates, you know, they make everybody look bad at their, but yet they don't tell the truth. And it's just like with us for decolonization on our side of the two, what I was explaining earlier is the two row. And on our side, we make our decisions through our communities. And then the nations do the same in their communities. They go back to their hereditary councils and their way of doing things, you know, and reestablish who they are. And kind of also, yes, decolonize the mind and the way of doing things. So, but we can, you know, on each side of the table, we can work at this and support each other and keep our money. Like if we look at our taxation, how much money are we going to save if we take over our hospitals? Like those are ours, you know, I mean, tough luck for the Vatican, you know, I mean, we can print our own money. We've done it before and we can do exchanges and even create our own and, you know, just put that in everybody's accounts and hey, let's go, you know, like let's start living here and enjoying the life and helping everybody else around the world. You know, once we've set up, then we can pass that on, you know, to our brothers and sisters everywhere else. And, you know, but the thing is every country has to start doing that. So the only way we're going to get around this is for everybody to kind of jump in here and, yes, decolonize. And but the people have to get together. And if we follow the recommendations that they have for referendums, we will beat them at their game with their own laws. I mean, they've created their own ropes. You know, I mean, decolonization came about because they wanted to get rid of useless eaters. So they didn't want to have to, you know, give people any money. Like in 1931, we were just coming out of the Great Depression. So, of course, Britain didn't want to have to fork out any money for Canadian people. Okay, well, now you're on your own. You know, we're going to be nice. We're going to let you have your own independence. Mind you, they forgot to tell the citizens, you know, and the government cronies took it all over and hijacked our country. So basically, that's what happened, and I'm sure they did it everywhere else. So, you know, yeah. There is hope.
Well, in New Zealand, what happened is I think there was a number of things going on pre-20th century, which looked a little bit strange and dodgy. And then in about the middle of the 20th century, I spoke to, or rather I was told, by a bunch of Māori kaumātua, the elders and what have you of the kingitanga, you know, like the bloodlines of the chiefs and what have you. And they told me around about the in the 50s in New Zealand, the proper bloodline of the chiefs who up till then had tried to protect Māoridom and protect Māoris and try to keep everything equal amongst the tribes and everything like that, they were married into by all of these other people who then took over all the business interests of the tribes and started taking all the benefits and all the monies and everything away from the average Māori member of the tribe kind of thing and kept it all for themselves. And I said, what do you mean, like a brown elite? And he's like, yeah. And it seems to me that the best way to take people's wealth is to make them think that they're taking it off of themselves, you know? It's like, oh, no, you can't criticize the tribe, man. The tribe is responsible for everything we have. Yeah, well, bro, actually, now they're responsible from taking everything you had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it's like, well, Canada, you know, right now is trying to steal everything that they have. Right now, with all the lakes that we have and the fresh water we have the government came out and removed all of the safety nets that we had for protecting the environment. So now we only have like 62 lakes that are protected right across Canada. Like, I mean, this is ridiculous. It's insanity. And, you know, the thing is when you're looking at Canada, because of the, you know, the Puritan image that they have, they're using Canada and they're registering their companies here, and then they're going abroad, and then they're committing environmental genocide. You know, everywhere they're going. Oh, well, let's allow these Canadian companies, you know, oh, the Canadians are good. We like the Canadians. Well, it's a crock of, you know, because they've made us, how can I say, they've made Canada kind of created its own, outworld view as, you know, the do-gooders and all this. Yeah, but we're also so asleep here that now, you know, they've used our government to go and manipulate and establish the one world government. And it's through us. I thought it was through the United States. It's not. It's through Canada. It's through Canada with the corporations. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but there was a big protest out in Greece over the Canadian corporation there. I mean, what the heck are we doing over there? You know, we didn't know. But now we're starting to find out. You know, in Peru, they're killing people. These companies, you know, claiming to be Canadian, are going down there and killing and raping women and murdering the chiefs because they're trying to stand up for their environmental rights and their territories. And as Canadians, we're allowing this?
Like, hey, we've become the... Technically, based on Canada's history, they're specialists at doing that.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's scary. It's scary as a Canadian citizen that, you know, this is what they're making us look out to be like. And, you know, until 5 years ago, I didn't know what the nations were suffering. We didn't learn that in school, you know, and it was, to me, I thought residential schools were some place posh, you know, oh, lucky them. And only to find out that it was, you know, a place where they were murdered and beaten and used and abused, and same as the people in Ireland. You know, so, I mean, you know, we've been duh long enough, you know. So that's why I appreciate people with shows like yours and, you know, it's still out there. Like me, for me, 5 years ago, when I found out about the avian flu, okay, my project was based on hospitals. And I did pharmaceutical market research, so I had access to some of the files and, you know, their stockpiled information and what the ingredients were. And I just about died when I saw that they were using a live vaccine in there. But, you know, even a nurse knows that you can eat a chicken that has avian flu. As long as it's well cooked, you're not going to catch nothing. And that virus doesn't jump from person to person unless it's been manipulated. It has to have been spliced. Now, that is human intervention there. But if you're looking at nature, there's no way in heck that you can catch an avian flu virus and it's going to jump from person to person. It doesn't. It lodges deep into the lung and it stays stuck there and it'll kill you, but it's not going to go to the next person. So, I mean, where's the common sense here? And Obama was in charge of this huge pre-pandemic plan. He was supposed to hate George Bush. Well, excuse me. In 2005, he got $7.9 billion dollars from George Bush to launch a pre-pandemic plan. Now, are these guys at odds? I would say not, right? Hey, talk about the biggest scam there was. So I had made a video, and then I thought, okay, well, I can't do this hospital. I don't want to be stuck with all these people doing all this stuff. I got to stop this. And then a year and a half ago, well, almost two now, we came up with decolonization thanks to Sharon Benny. This woman was a godsend.
Right. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear more from Nicole at decolonizenorthamerica.com or decolonizenorthamerica.org. Nicole, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, too. Okay. Another day, another guest, another raft of very depressing information delivered in a comical way. This show's freaking ironic now that I think about it. All right. Well, thank you, Nicole. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in to the madness and the scumbaggery and all of that other nice stuff. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Please make a donation to the bank account there. The Kiwi Bank bank account is on the website at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And check out the massive list of wide arrays of archives that we have there at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, especially the featured interviews page with the massive, massive, awesome, super, super guests in it. All right. See you again.